You?
Brown sugar does melt, Dr. Tanner.
Once they were out of the lee of the mountain, the wind freshened, driving away some of the light rain. It cleared visibility up to the better part of a mile, opening up the vista of what had once been the city of Washington, one-time capital of the greatest and most powerful country that the world had ever known. The seven friends stood grouped together, staring down at the spectacle.
Fire blast.
From battered, rusting street signs, they discovered they were in a suburb to the southeast of the city that had been called Forest Heights. The newborn volcano wasn't the only change around Washington. There was the clearest evidence of massive quake activity, with ribboned, tilted highways and jutting chasms that furrowed the land. It was exceedingly doubtful that anyone who had lived in Forest Heights in the last blank days of civilization would have recognized the place now. But many of the buildings remained. Ryan had led them to a street of mainly Victorian frame houses, several of them rotted and tilted, leaning drunkenly against their neighbors. They all lacked windows, but the companions found one house that seemed sturdy and at least still had most of its shingled roof intact. Dusk had come creeping in from over the Shens to the west, and they saw no sign of any human life. A single dog skulked across their path, halting in a brief show of defiance in the center of the road. Ryan started to brandish the stire, but the animal lost its nerve and scuttled off into the tall evergreen bushes that smothered most of the front gardens.
That's a shame. Would have made good eating for tonight.
They got a fire going in the hearth of the stripped living room, using dry kindling that Dean scavenged from under the rear porch. Mildred found a battered pan and filled it from the brimming water butt, slicing up some of the vegetables that she discovered in the overgrown kitchen garden. Potatoes, carrots, and onions, with a few sprigs of herbs to give it flavor, simmered away. The conversation turned naturally to what they'd seen while standing on the peak of Darien Avenue, looking down across the ravaged landscape.
Just a big, big hole. That lake to the west, like the worst volcano in the world, had blown its head off. Must have been 10 miles across.
Easy that, Dean. See why they call it Washington Hole?
It had been a gigantic crater, torn from the earth by the nuke bombs, and later missiles, that had ripped the heart from the capital, and been the trigger for the dark nights and long winters that followed. Within a 2-week period, the survivors of that first attack were so few that they couldn't be measured statistically. The winding, warm brown Potomac had vanished. Its bed scoured out and destroyed, it now formed a huge, lazy lake, miles wide from north to south, covering most of the blasted ruins of the city, as well as virtually all of Arlington and Alexandria.
That looked like one of the biggest shantytown camps I ever saw, around the edge of the crater. Couldn't see much for the cooking smoke, but there must have been hundreds of shacks there.
Many of the old cities have their squat camps, don't they?
Ryan leaned forward and looked at the vegetable stew.
Smells good. The cities? Yeah, but I've been to the ruins of New York, New Orleans, Chicago. Point is that they were all wrecked, but all of them still had lots of buildings left, even if most were destroyed. We all remember what it was like drifting past the scrapers of New York. The dead streets and the ghoulies haunting the red blighted emptiness. You get squatters in all those places.
It's utterly terrifying.
Tiene el miedo muchos ojos. Fear has many eyes.
Wonder what happened to the two men from the redoubt.
Who cares, Jack?
Dean got up and peered out of one of the broken double doors that opened into the back garden.
Nearly dark, and it's raining again.
What do you mean, again? I haven't noticed it stop raining ever since we left that nice, dry, warm redoubt.
Sourness in a maiden is as welcome as a persimmon in a bowl of cream, Dr. Wyeth.
Did you just make that up, Tanner?
Possibly.
And attempted humor hangs on the lips of a senile old man as clinging shit on the ass of a dead goat.
Well said, madam. Devilish well said.
Meal's nearly ready.
The fire was dying. Ryan and JB had discussed the need for posting anyone on watch, eventually deciding that it wasn't necessary, as there was no sign of any recent human habitation. The only thing they agreed on was that they'd all move on to the top story for the night.
I'll sleep out at the top of the stairs. I wake easy.
So do I, JB.
Jack joined them.
I sleep the lightest. I sleep on the landing.
The two older men looked at each other. There was no point in arguing. They both knew Jack was right, and this wasn't some sort of game where honor and pride were involved.
All right, sounds good.
The wind from the north was stronger. Later it veered more toward the east, bringing the salt scent from the Chesapeake Bay and heavier rain that thrummed on the roof, splattering through the broken glass of the bedroom windows. The group had split up to sleep, as they often did. Jack took his chosen place at the top of the wide staircase. Doc and Dean shared the larger front room, with JB and Mildred in the middle. Ryan and Christy chose the back room, much the most cramped of the available accommodation. They bundled together, waiting until the rest of the house was quiet, before beginning to make love. It was a hasty joining, less than satisfactory, and they had to move twice because of the spreading pool of rain that was inching across the floor toward them. For about 20 minutes, there was a sharp chemstorm, with vivid stripes of purple-silver lightning and thunder that seemed to shake the foundations of the old building. Then they stopped moving as they both heard Dean picking his way barefooted across the landing, and a muttered conversation as he woke Jack.
You must be sick. You're not supposed to do that.
No, better than normal.
Christy kept still, her stomach muscles fluttering and tightening around Ryan's powerful erection.
Must want a leak.
He could have just done it out the window.
Probably worried about all the splinters of broken glass. Boy doesn't want to risk doing himself a permanent injury. Think he's gone.
Yeah, but then he'll come back.
Christy suddenly felt him begin to shrink inside her.
Want to call the whole thing off, lover?
What, are you kidding? Just wait.
And fill the time in with some kissing and touching. Starting just down there.
After they both finally climaxed, Ryan dozed for some time.
What?
Christy was lying on her back, her head turned slightly to the left, the errant beams of moonlight through the filtering clouds, creating a glow around her mane of scarlet hair. The blanket had slipped down to just below her breasts, and Ryan lowered his head and gently touched his mouth to both erect nipples, pulling the blanket up to cover her.
Thanks, babe.
Ryan smiled in the darkness, listening to the sounds of the night. The wind brushed through the sycamores that clustered at the back of the house. The rain seemed temporarily to have stopped. The fire had guttered downstairs, but Ryan could still catch the strong, bitter taint of its smoke. For a moment it crossed his mind to wonder how far that scent might carry on the scurrying wind, if there were any two-legged hunters on the prowl through the suburbs. He felt the familiar swelling in his groin, lying still, trying to decide whether it meant lust or the simple pressure of needing to take a leak.
Yeah, need to take a leak.
There was a great temptation to try to ignore it and stay warm and comfortable, but Ryan knew that he would be simply postponing the inevitable. The wind brought another flurry of rain tiptoeing across the roof. The sound of running water was enough to decide Ryan that he needed to move.
All right, that does it.
He eased his way out of the makeshift bed, pulled on his pants, then the steel-tipped combat boots, and hurriedly laced them. The shirt was next, tangling itself awkwardly around his wrists, then the panga in its sheath. He considered the Sig Sauer and rejected it. He had barely set foot on the landing before Jack was sitting up, holding his heavy Colt Python, his hair a blaze of brilliant white in the gloom.
Should have slept downstairs, Ryan. Looks like the whole world needs to take a leak.
You hear anything outside?
Just the night, the sky, the trees, dogs far off. Thought I heard a shot an hour ago. Got up, checked around, nothing.
Right. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Jack lay down again and closed his eyes, while Ryan left him and walked slowly down the stairs. Once out the back door, the one-eyed warrior blinked in the unexpectedly cold air. The fetid smell of brackish water that had been so strong once they left the hidden redoubt had gone for the time being, washed away by the rain-bearing northeaster. but he could still taste the last lingering tendrils of smoke from their fire.